welcome to episode 10 of A View from the Bridge for the 16th of February 2007. Here in A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the Coors Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name is Patrick Smith.
I'm Aaron Carnahan. Welcome to the show. This week, we're going to have a look back at a huge weekend in the Giants' season. We'll have a wee look at what's happening around the league, a few other bits and pieces happening with the Giants, and we'll look forward to the first of the few weekends that the Giants have on the road.
Yes, of course, if you want to get in contact with us here at A View from the Bridge, you can go about it by emailing us at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Pop across to the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com. /podcast.
That would be it. Or you could call us on the rant line on 0121-288-0855. Well, don't call it a comeback, Aaron. You're back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back. And it's probably a bit easier. I mean, it took three people to replace me last week. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't think... exactly. Three people to replace you, but they did quite a good job. I thought it was quite a job.
Yes, it was a very enjoyable show. Something I definitely look forward to doing again at some point in the future.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing it next month, maybe, and... I really enjoyed doing it, and with thanks again to Marty, to Craig, and to Graham for stepping in. But this week, we've a little bit to talk about, and what I'm going to do, Aaron, is I'm just going to hand it over to you for the Vipers game, because although I was there, I don't remember a thing.
We were there in body, I think, maybe not in mind, and I blame the Botanic Inns Limited, to be honest, for forgetting to shuffle the deck of cards that they were giving away with their pints of Guinness.
That's right, we got all of them, were winners. It's like, three pints, and that was it. I think 4 o'clock was when I just went... and don't remember anything. Well, yeah. Very few bits and pieces. But there was a game.
Apparently so, yes. We spent most of the day, actually, it was quite entertaining. We spent most of the day with a few Newcastle fans watching the Newcastle United-Liverpool match. I'll not mention any more of that. The fact that Newcastle won.
Move on.
But as I stated at the end of that match to those Newcastle fans, that was the only thing Newcastle would win that day. And for the first time in a while, it was proven correct.
Yeah. I thought you were going to put your foot in it with that comment. But yes, a 4-1 home win. A home win for the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, it's a bit of a rarity. I don't think we really knew what to do. It was a home win, but it was we left it late, just for a change. We went 1-0 up quite early on in the game. Vipers' backup was in goalie Mark Lee. Young, I think he's a local fella from Newcastle area, isn't he?
I believe so.
And he actually, I have to say, he did do a pretty good job. He made a few very good. He made one save in the second period, which he had no right to make. Really, he made a save on his left post and then just threw himself back across the goal and saved the rebound. So he made a few good saves once again. The Giants didn't really test him that much, to be fair. Todd Kelman opened the scoring with his 10th goal of the year, skating in sort of on the left wing and fired it in over his glove into the top corner. It was a lovely goal. And then, despite the fact that we were, you know, heavily outshooting the Vipers, we managed to wait until the 52nd minute of the game to let Andre Payet bring the Vipers back into it with a tying goal.
And I am entertaining celebration, which yeah, I believe it's supposed to be a viper, and looks a bit like a donkey, ironically.
Yeah, but that fits the theme really of Andre Payet. yes, I'm not entirely sure. I've never seen a viper that slides on its knees.
From that, we thought, well, I think it was only about five minutes to go when the Giants hit back.
Minutes, it took a bit of magic from Jason Ruff to finish the game off. He skated out from behind the goal and a new tactic that we thought was against the rules. Sean Skihart was standing in front of the goalie.
Unbelievable.
And tipped the puck in.
Unbelievable.
The third goal was actually a very nice goal. I mean, it was Jason Ruff again skating down the left wing. A big backhand pass over to Jeff Hutchins, who was streaking through the middle. Mm-hmm. And although Hutchins' shot was saved, Hoppy was there to put the rebound in. And then with only a couple of minutes left, and I think the Giants were on a two-man power play, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Hutchins tipped in Jason Ruff's shot just to round out the scoring at 4-1. So although it was quite comfortable, the result in the end, we did leave it late and give ourselves maybe a bit more work than we had to do.
And with that, on a high, the Giants were on Saturday, a 4-1 win, and now it's time to hit the road, and we'll go to Coventry. And let me just read out the scores, because that's what I'm going to do. The scores were Danny Stewart, Roman Endur, Ashley Tate, Tom Carlin, Adam Calder, Michael Tasker again, and Adam Calder again. And what's missing there, Aaron?
I'm not sure. Is it Mike Menard?
The Giants went down 8-0 at Skydome.
But if you'd have said to me at the start of the season that this season the Giants would be record breakers, would you? I would have taken it.
Indeed, it is the worst ever losing score for the Belfast Giants. Previous to that, it was 8-1, I believe, in the first season of the Sheffield Steelers.
Had we a 9... Well, it was a 9-3, wasn't it? So 9-3 was the most goals we conceded, but obviously 8-0 is an 8-goal differential. So
I don't know. Apparently, it was a poor performance all round, according to Graham Smith, who was on the who was at the game for the podcast last week. Giants underperformed in a spectacular fashion. We actually got an email, so I'm just going to briefly read out to you from Stuart Coles, the Coventry fan we had on, seems like a couple of months back on the podcast.
Yeah, it was one of the early episodes, yeah.
Yeah, I just reassure you. He says, "Dear Paddy and Aaron, well, I guess you may have expected to hear from a few Blaze fans after last night's game. Anyway, this is not a gloating email. I just thought I'd share my thoughts about the game and respective performances. The first period is pretty much as I expected going into the game. Belfast got a lot of pressure, including several power play chances, and we were really bossing the game. Blaze insisted on taking silly penalties, and if it wasn't for Koenig making some superb stops, the game may have been different. It looked like Menard had lost confidence in his defence after the second goal, as he started to cover up everything, and when he just let the third goal whistle past him, the defence seemed to lose confidence in him, and the team just fell to pieces. With the Giants forwards not passing or communicating to each other, the Blaze took full advantage and pressed home the lead. It's been mentioned that Ed Courtney was pretty static for the game, and to an extent he was. The motivation of the Giants seemed to be carried out more by Awada, there's a surprise, and some of the British lads than the coach, and perhaps he is at fault for that, but my point really is that he should not need to give out much motivation in that sort of crunch game with so much on the line.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
You know, from early on in the season we've been saying the team have been picking up wins that they maybe haven't deserved to by... Mm-hmm. You know, making comebacks. How many times against Sheffield? We mentioned it. You know, I think 4 games against Sheffield, we've been 4-1 down or 3-2 down, I think, and we've won them, and other games against others, and it's just not working that way at the minute.
Lazy play was what I had mentioned. Not to blow my own trumpet here, and when it comes to the Giants losing, I really don't want to do that, but I thought my initial thoughts were it was lazy play. We sat back looking for the talent to take over, and then woke up in the third, said, "Oh, we got to win this game," and started to fire them away. And is that coming home to roost?
I don't know what's happening. Maybe, you know, let's take a positive out of it if we can. And obviously, you'll see this tomorrow on Sunday. But let's hope that that's the kick up the arse that they needed. And that they'll come out and they'll answer it the right way, and they will prove that, you know, the team that on paper should be challenging for the title and still is.
Yeah.
Just about.
Mm-hmm. I think we're 2 points back and 2 games behind. Is that right?
No, I think the Coventry beat Sheffield. It's 4 points now and 1 game.
Yes.
So, you know, but if they lose that game, we're still to play them once in the Odyssey. And we remember the last time we played them in the Odyssey, it was probably the best performance of the season.
Yep.
That cuts, you know, should they lose the game in hand, should we then beat them in the Odyssey, it cuts it back to 2 points. Despite the fact that it's a pretty shocking loss, you know, there's, say, one positive to take out of it is that, you know, it might just be the kick that maybe will push this team on to better things.
I hope so.
Another positive to take, seemingly in the third period, well, Kevin Kelly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Got into a goal for about 19 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They conceded two goals on around about, I think it was about 12 shots, which isn't bad. And from reports from, again, Coventry fans, made a few good saves, which is good to hear. And, of course, Gareth Martin played a solid seven minutes.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Must be, again, another possible record. And didn't disgrace himself, certainly put in a better shift than some of his more illustrious teammates, perhaps. Mm. And one thing that I heard from a couple of Coventry fans was that Graham Walton, they would be very disappointed and surprised if he didn't at least get an offer of a place on the British team at the end of the season.
Mm. Walton has been playing very, very well this season. But I agree with you. I'm hoping that basically with these positives and that this is the kick up the ass that we need for the games against Hull and Sheffield we have coming up, but we'll get to them in a second. We'll have to move on because I know you want to make your way to the rugby soon. And time's running out. In news, part of the news we got from the Giants camp was that Jim Yorski, friend of the show, of course, has been in talks with the New York Rangers.
Yes, clearly my visit last week had a lot to do with that.
Oh, obviously.
No, he seems to be looking at some kind of affiliation. What extent it'll be to, you know, whether it, I doubt it'll involve player swaps or anything like that, unfortunately. Imagine a young Mark Stahl playing in the Elite League. Or a young, an old Brendan Shanahan, perhaps.
Well, it is, Belfast are his family roots.
But yeah, I'm not entirely sure what, I think there's talk of maybe some kind of game over here, maybe pre-season or something along those lines.
We have had these, sort of, rumours and things before, but with Jim Yorkshire talking to Glenn Sather, do you think it's more of a chance, more of a possibility?
I would say so. I mean, Glenn Sather, I think, didn't he coach Theo Fleury?
Yes, he did, indeed.
In Calgary many years back, or I think it was Calgary, or somewhere like that. So, and obviously the connection, you know, Theo Fleury, Glenn Sather, Jim Yorkshire, maybe there is something in this time.
And in addition to that, with more NHL in the UK news, rumour that the LA Kings are going to play a season game at the Millennium Dome or the O2 Arena, which is actually a KOTG exclusive from a couple of months back.
Yes, I think it is. It was mentioned by Marty, who was on the show last week, who lives just up the road, really, from the Dome. And I think they were invited down to have a look around at what was being done within it, sort of local residents or something along those lines. And the girl said at that point, and I believe I recall he did post it on the Kingdom of the Giants forum, that it was something that was being looked at.
And the LA Kings are owned by the same company that are overseeing the construction and the running of the Dome. So,
yep, and indeed, the team that owned
The London Knights, indeed.
The ISL.
And with the NFL bringing a regular season game to Wembley, it seems plausible that the NHL might do the same thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the NHL have done the same. I'm not sure when it was. While reading about this London thing, I think it was maybe the late 80s. I mean, they've played a game at Wembley before. But I think it was a pre-season game, from what I read. Whereas this will obviously, it's meant to be an actual proper regular season game, which is a bit different. And I think they've also played, the NHL have also played games out in Japan in pre-season before.
As far as I'm aware.
I also remember from a couple of years ago the Toronto Maple Leafs being in Sweden, for their pre-season camp. But again, these are all pre-season things. This is an actual sort of regular season game, which is, as I said, it's a totally different prospect.
And it'll be interesting to see what the new O2, the O2 dome is like. And speaking in a seamless link, speaking of newly constructed arenas.
The IKEA arena in Manchester.
Indeed. Their roof from IKEA. Manchester have hit a bit of a snag. It looks like it's ever so close to opening in their new Altrincham Ice Dome, I believe it's called.
Yeah,
and they're just hitting snags.
Yeah, the decision's been made today. They're meant to be playing Edinburgh tomorrow night, which is Saturday, which is probably tonight by the time the show's out. Saturday the 17th is meant to be the first game against Edinburgh. From people in Manchester that I've spoken to briefly this evening, basically what they've said is that the ice will be ready at some point tomorrow, but it could be 5 o'clock in the evening, it could be 9 o'clock, or it could be 3 o'clock on Sunday morning. So rather than Edinburgh turning up and the same situation as what happened in Cardiff, where the Vipers fans came down, they've made the decision now that the best thing is just to postpone that game. I think they're looking to rearrange it for Thursday night. Now the opening game will be on Sunday.
A bit of a sensible move. It's astounding.
Well, I'd say they've maybe learnt from what happened in Cardiff. I haven't seen pictures of this new arena or rink. Without getting to the arena rink debate, this new rink in Altrincham, it does seem to be a lot more solid than the one that's there in Cardiff. For a start, the outside seems to be made of brick rather than blue plastic sheeting. I think it's good that they've decided, right, let's call this off now. Let's not risk, you know, more bad publicity. And let's just wait till Sunday. I mean, what difference does one day make at this point?
Yep, and so they'll play Newcastle on Sunday night. Quickly before we move on, I'm going to mention it. It's not even worth mentioning because it's just such a joke. But the Knockout Cup semi-final draw.
Oh, yes. Sorry, yeah. The Knockout Cup semi-final. Now, let's see. Sheffield have a one-legged semi-final, am I right?
Yeah, Sheffield and the Cardiff Devils will play a winner-take-all, one-game tie, whereas Blaze against Phoenix...
Hang on, but of course, that's nothing to do with the fact that both teams are owned by the same people.
No, of course not. But the Blaze and Phoenix, two-legged. And to me, that's an absolute joke.
Of course, just to make it even better, those three games, of course, three games in the semi-finals...
Yeah.
Which sounds preposterous enough on its own, are also being tied in with league games.
So, a round of applause once again for the Elite League. What a balls up. Tomorrow night, Hull.
Yes, I'm sadly disappointed that I can't make this weekend away. Unfortunately, I spent far too much money last week. So, yes, unfortunately I can't make it, but I know yourself and quite a few people will be heading to both games.
There seems to be a lot of people heading down, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. But with regards to the Giants' performance...
It's not the Odyssey.
It's not... Well, it's, yeah, but...
Well, in saying that, it's not the Odyssey, it's not the Sky Dome.
Well, so. On our last visit to Hull... I believe we had to sneak it.
Yeah, well, we had to sneak it against Hull at home last week, I believe, as well. A game I missed, so I don't know. They had their backup and goal in that game. I think they might have the same as Miroslav Bielik, still injured.
I believe so.
So they'll have their backup and goal again, so that's something we need to take advantage of, really.
They'll be looking for to pick up the win there, and I'm planning on not getting as drunk as I was last Saturday, and then because on Sunday I'll have to drive to Sheffield, and there's a team on form.
Yes, it certainly is. They're apart from their loss to Coventry, which didn't do us any favors. I think they're well on their way. If the Giants keep playing the way the Giants have been playing, and the Steelers keep playing the way the Steelers have been playing. The Steelers could very well be up to second place quite soon.
At this rate, definitely.
The Steelers have made a few changes there, and it's pretty much turned their season round. I mean, at one point in a previous show, we were talking about the Steelers as, well, I think they were the ninth place out of 10.
They were, and a lot of people calling for Dave Matsos's head. And of course,
a lot of people saying that Dave Matsos wasn't very animated on the bench during that losing run.
It'll be an interesting game, especially seeing as the last our last visit there, we had we went behind and had the win from the back.
For a change.
to be honest, I'd love to be confident. I really hate the fact that I'm not confident. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just me. It's just a lack of consistency in the team. Don't get me wrong. I'm traveling to these games and I'm going to be supporting the Giants through and through all the way. But come on, guys, give us two wins.
it would be quite pleasant. Two wins and a couple of Coventry losses.
Yeah.
Would be a nice, pleasant weekend.
It's really what we need now because the fat lady is starting to warm up, to be honest.
And I didn't know Andre Payak could sing, but there you go.
Whoa! Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum. Right.
Or Lobby.
Hey! Yeah, let's pick on Newcastle.
Or...
Go on.
No, the rest of them are really fat.
Yeah, true. Right, time to wrap it up, Aaron, because you've got a rugby game to get to.
Yes, I do indeed.
And I've got people to pick up who are travelling to the game tomorrow. Which is my girlfriend Vicky, because now after she got a couple of mentions over the last couple of podcasts, it's like, ooh, she likes getting mentions, so hello, Vicky. Are you going to say hello to Dawn?
No, she doesn't listen anyway.
All right, okay.
Not very supportive like that, you know.
All right.
But speaking of mentions, yes. Just... on a final note, I believe we've earned a bit of infamy, or maybe a bit of fame. I'm not sure exactly what was written yet. So
infamy. They've all got an infamy.
Yes, I believe we got a little note in the Coventry Blaze program for the game on Sunday.
Indeed, I got a message from a friend who got a copy of the program and claims that we got a mention of it. Like yourself. I haven't seen it, so we'll see if it's a positive or negative.
I would imagine it's a negative, seeing as how it's like Coventry and Belfast.
Or, yeah, true.
You know, but no, I'll wait and see. Hopefully, I'll get to see a copy of it at some point quite soon. And
whoever did it,
depending what it says, maybe we'll even read it out next week.
Yeah. And whoever it was, thanks for the mention.
Thank you very much.
If you want to get in touch and let us know what you wrote, or you can. Email us on podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or hop over to kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
You got it right this time. Or the rant line, 012-128-0855. Off to Hull tomorrow, off to Sheffield on Sunday, back here next week.
Yes.
All right, then, we'll see you next time on A View from the Bridge.
Goodbye. It's the way that you feel.